Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on Still Just Fishing Show. Got Captain Chip Wingo and myself in here.
Good morning, Vic.
This morning. Good morning. And we got some real weird weather coming up.
If it hasn't been weird enough already.
Yeah, really. Right? It's a chance of rain, chance of rain. Seems like every day it's just chance of rain, and it does rain every day. And if I don't get a dry day pretty soon to cut my grass, we're going to have to kind of be careful how we walk through it.
Gonna look like a rice field.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that way in the valley too. It's sticking. There's only so much where, or so many places the water can go.
It's so crazy. It's like you know, whenever you get this much rain. I mean, luckily I've, you know, when I moved out there 40 something years ago, we kind of leveled it out to where it would run.
Mm-hmm.
Down to the side and the back of the property and all. And so it does pretty good. I mean, when it rains out there, a lot of times if it's raining hard, you know, we got like an inch of water across the yard. But if it's when it stops, it kind of, you know, it all drains out. So hopefully it'll do the same, you know, this coming week, because I mean, we're looking at you know, I was just looking at the forecast, everything, the marine forecast. And what's so funny about it is, you know, Tuesday they're talking about 5 to 10 knot winds, and then Wednesday tropical storm conditions. So that's a pretty big change in 24 hours.
That's a huge change.
Yeah. So I'd say if you're going to go fishing and try to get out there, you know, I guess probably since tomorrow is the actual 4th, I guess a lot of people are having Monday off. And, you know, if so, I mean, it's still a pretty good forecast for Monday. So, you got Sunday and Monday, which is not bad. I mean, to get out there as far as the wind forecast going, you're always going to have that chance of rain, though. I mean, this time of the year, it's there. But, you know, a lot of times you get out there early, you can get in a few hours.
Yeah, we got in a few yesterday morning. But, I mean, it was nice yesterday. It was actually perfect yesterday morning. Mm. Had the overcast, light wind, you know, and
yeah.
Unfortunately the fish didn't cooperate. So
what area did y'all fish in?
We fished south of Beach Boulevard, about halfway through the valley. Hmm. And
it's been a long time since I've been down that far.
Yeah, and it we threw artificials yesterday and it didn't quite pan out. But, I mean, it was also slow for Leon and Corey further south. But, you know, it's weird. There's a lot of dredging going on between Atlantic Boulevard and JTB.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all those canals, it looks like they're starting to dredge. I don't think they've quite gotten into the area south of Beach or just north of JTB.
Yeah.
But they're starting in a couple other places closer to Beach Boulevard. But the water wasn't that bad. I mean, considering all the rain we've had,
yeah,
and the wind and blah blah blah, it you could still see your lure. You know, I mean, you could actually see it a pretty good ways down, so a couple feet down. So
that's good.
But it's still, you know. And
I was thinking about, you know, how it's been. I mean, with this much rain, I'm shocked that it's not, you know, been muddy down there too, you know, especially you're talking about dredging those canals.
There's been a lot of boat traffic too, bigger boats. You know, I was having lunch yesterday with Leon and a special guest, which was pretty cool, Bouncer Smith.
Yeah.
And his buddy, Ubi. And Bouncer Smith went fishing with Leon, and we were watching the boat traffic go by, and wake zones did not matter.
Yeah.
It was crazy. But, yeah, that was neat sitting down and having lunch with him yesterday. He's somebody who's taught. I learned a lot from as far as sail fishing goes with kites and stuff of that nature and tarpon fishing. And, you know, he's just an icon, was an icon in South Florida forever. But
and he still lives down there?
No, he actually lives in Marietta, Georgia now.
Oh, wow.
He's retired. And it was just listening to his stories and, you know, back and forth. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I guess Leon ran him down to Comanche Cove yesterday morning to meet a lot of the captains down there. And, you know, and then they fished and came back up. And it was funny to listen to them talk about Leon, that charter with Leon that morning. It was, you know... Because Leon wouldn't let him take pictures of small fish. He was blocking him. He was laughing. He's like, yeah, no, we're not taking a picture of that. And then all of a sudden they get a real big one. And it's like, all right, we'll take a picture of that one. You know, he's like, I'm not taking a picture with Bouncer Smith with a small fish.
16-inch reel.
Yeah. So I think they had one that was like 28 and a half inches.
No good.
You know, you know, I get it. It was funny, though. Mm-hmm. You know, and with Corey Sparks and Leon and myself and Ubi and Bouncer sitting there, I mean, it was hysterical, you know, to listen to everything going around the table.
Oh, I bet. That'd be something else to listen to those.
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up watching him and Mark Sosin because he took Mark mm-hmm. Sosin out on so many trips. And, you know, then when I was running the big boats, the sport fish shots, down in Miami, and he was talking about sailfish, and he was one of the innovators of kite fishing.
Oh, man.
So, you know, I listened to him and, you know, asked some questions, and then, you know, I just started running the bigger boats, and, you know, we fished trolling all the time and never fished with live bait with kites. And so I'll never forget the following day we went out and fished, and, you know, we had bought all the kites and everything, and, you know, I was listening, you know, going to listen to him. The next day we go 5 for 7. I mean, was just unbelievable to watch him eat a kite, you know, eat the bait on the surface with the kite. But, the stories he has are awesome. You know, you can sit there and listen to him for hours and hours and hours. So, but he's like, yeah, I got to go. I got a 6-hour drive. And we're like, why don't you just stay, you know, stay another day, you know? But, So, yeah, I went out yesterday with, Chesapeake Mike and you know, we put the grind on it for a while, and it just wasn't in perfect places too. Great tide outgoing halfway through.
Wow.
You know, usually the fish are blowing up everywhere, and we saw a couple of reds, but you know, no trout, you know, no ladyfish, no anything like that. It was really strange. So, and I talked to a couple other people who fish. Boris told me he had a couple of slow days. You know, it's weird how our patterns go, because they go really good, and then it dips down to horrible, and then back up to okay, and then really good, and then really good. And, you know, it's a roller coaster.
It is. Really is. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you go in one creek. I know up here, you know, the creeks that we've been going in way off the intercoastal, they're muddy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, with all the runoff, too, you've got to consider the areas from Beach Boulevard towards St. Augustine. Mm. You know, all the neighborhoods, their sewers are dumping in. They're, I shouldn't say sewers.
Yeah, they're storm drains.
They're draining in, so you're adding a lot of fresh water. We did see quite a bit of bait yesterday, which was nice, a lot of shrimp and a lot of mullet. But, you know, all that water being pushed in. You know, and it's running, you know, it's going to create mud.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all we can do is wait for it. But this time of year, we always have rain in the afternoon. So, but we've had a lot of rain.
Usually you get a little, you know, 30-minute shower goes through.
I think it's been raining for, 18, 19 days straight.
Wow. I don't know, man. It's just been unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I thought we was going to, you know, be safe from the rain. I think it was Thursday, but we got it again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's supposed to be the driest day, I think, this week, and it rained again. So, I don't know. You know, it's and I can tell it's really hard for them to try to, you know, forecast it when this time of the year and everything, but... Usually in July, you know, you have these little showers come through and then it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. Looks like it's going to be more than that, though. 222-8255. Give us a call. We'll be back.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits, and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. And, you know, don't forget that the snapper season opens next weekend. And they're also the weekend to close down Sisters Creek Ramp.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's going to be a madhouse. But
I'm actually kind of glad that my boat's in the going through what it's going through right now. You know, redoing everything and yeah. It's going on the market. But it's like perfect timing.
It is.
You know, snapper season. You know, I'll sit back and maybe video the boat ramp or something.
Yeah, so. It's going to be pretty well packed. I just hope, you know, the storm's passed enough, you know, that it's going to give people some calm seas, because after it leaves here, I mean, it looks like it's going to go out in the ocean, you know. And I don't know. I mean, just looking at this stuff, it's so disheartening, you know. I mean, we have the we're in the cone, so it's supposed to come across, and, you know, it was showing it's going to hit Florida, landfall, you know, just south of Tampa, and then kind of go up the edge of the state and then come across here. But now they're showing it's going to stay in the Gulf more until it gets north of Tampa, and then, you know, come across the state to us.
Yeah. It shows, I follow Mike's weather page on Facebook.
Yeah.
And he's showing it pretty much coming across, it looks like, the tip of the Keys, and then coming up, like you said, and Wednesday being pretty much, I guess, around the Tampa area.
Yeah, it's like just north of it.
Yeah, but then it shows that's a big jump from Wednesday to Thursday. Thursday showing it being up in South Carolina.
Yeah.
But that cone looks like it wants to come straight across.
Well, you know how it is when they hit those storms, when they hit land, they just speed right up, you mm-hmm. know. But it being that close to the coast, it could still wind up coming back into the ocean, you know, once it gets past us. So if it does, that's going to give the Snapper Boys quite a bumpy ride out there. So hopefully it'll get on up there, get on out of here before the weekend comes. And they can go out there and get their red snapper.
Hey, the one.
Yeah, the one red snapper. But, you know, it is what it is. At least they got a few days open, but it just gets me how they open up, you know, the Gulf so long and then.
Yeah, I'm still not understanding that.
3 days here.
I guess there. The governor did that for him. I'm not sure. Yeah. I haven't followed it that closely. I've just kind of honestly gotten tired of following it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over the years, it's been, what, 8 years now? Has it been that
I
long?
I think so, probably.
So
it's been quite a while since they, you know, first closed it.
Yeah. Well, you know, thank God there's other things to fish for.
Yeah.
I mean, but I look at the strain it's put on the inshore fishing with the bay boats, but yeah. Who we got on?
Craig. Let's hit Craig on. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Captain.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Been listening to y'all all morning. Mr. Wingo has a lot of, our Cat Wingo has a lot of good information.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he does. He always...
I get it all from Mr. Craig Van Brocklin.
Captain Vic is the wizard of the waterways. Chip's the master of the waterways.
I don't know about all that, but it's
I know. Yeah, but I know.
I think you're the master of the kayak fishing for sure. Every time I see you're on a podium.
Yeah.
I'm like, man. Mm-hmm. I was like, and he just smiles at like, it's so
up,
easy.
Holding up a fish or, yeah. I mean, a check or a trophy.
A check or a trophy. That's what we'll call you, master of the checks and trophies.
Yeah. I get lucky every once in a while.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I think it's different.
Yes, in the right place.
When it's consistent, I think there's a difference between luck and good.
Yeah.
So.
It could be.
You fishing this morning?
Yeah, I'm on my way to check out an old trout hole.
Awesome.
Haven't been to it in several years.
Nice.
So hopefully we'll get some trout there. Trout have been pretty scarce lately. I'm getting one here and there, but I haven't really gotten into them big.
Yeah, they have been up here. I don't know what area you're talking about, but yeah. Up here where I fish for them, they've been real scarce.
Yeah, I'm probably fishing about the same area you are, Captain. Mm. I mean, fishing, third last week. But
yeah.
You got a nice 21-inch trout last weekend during a tournament, which was good.
That's awesome.
And, I had the only trout the entire tournament out of 34 boats.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that tells you about how the trout bite is right now.
Yeah, and I don't know what that is. I mean, last year we talked about, you know, maybe the dredging was causing that. But, I mean, for this to continue, it's, pretty slow on the trout. I'm kind of curious as what's causing that.
I don't know. I think the dredging definitely has something to do with it. I was fishing in one area a few days ago. You could just see a line in the water where the dredge had stirred up all the mud.
Oh, yeah.
And there was nothing biting in that dirty water. I mean, not a bite. Go outside of that dirty water, and I caught a few flounder.
Hmm.
Yeah, you can imagine. Of course, we all know about trout and clarity, you know, water clarity, but they sure don't bite in muddy water, that's for sure. And, you know, I've seen it, like you're talking about. It looks like coffee with creamer in it. All of a sudden, here it comes. You know, like a tide line, you know, hits or whatever. And you could just see the change in the water immediately.
Yeah, yeah. you know, in a kayak, I can't move around too much. So if I know someplace there's a dredge, I just avoid the whole area now.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
It's a waste of time, really.
Yeah, it's kind of funny with the trout being slow. The flounder bite's been pretty good. I mean, it's
flounder bite's been on fire.
Yeah, it's been better than I've seen it in a long time. You know,
I caught a lot of small ones. I caught a lot of 13 and 3/4.
Yeah,
yeah, we've had some bigger fish. I've seen a lot of bigger fish caught too.
Yeah,
you know, but it's kind of, you know how it is in the summertime. I call them summer flounder. They're usually skinnier or lean or narrower, but thick. You know.
Yeah.
So
I've caught some skinny flounder too. I think 18 is the biggest I've caught. 18 is the biggest I've caught so
That's
far
a good one.
This year. Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm looking for a big one though.
Yeah, I hear there's quite a few, you know, small ones from the people I talk to and all. They're talking about how, you know, they get a bunch of small ones. They get, you know, two or three keepers and, you know, might catch 10 or 12 small ones, you know. But at least,
right,
you know, that shows the population's coming back anyway.
Yeah, there's no lack of population this year.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. I look forward to that because, you know, when they started changing the rules, I was curious as to, you know, is that – really, you know, the reason they're changing it because of the population, and undoubtedly it's kind of helping because, like you say, even the 13 3/4, I mean, you have a lot of people that's going to keep those anyway. You know,
not me.
when that limit was 12 inches, they would keep them, and you know, it's such a shame because you know, right now, I mean, it looks like there's so many more around that size.
Yeah. And I'm still on the quantum fishing team, and we got our own page. And the guys in Louisiana are killing the flounder right now.
Wow.
I mean, they can't go out and fish for anything without hooking a flounder.
Yeah, man, that's great.
So what are you throwing this? What are you throwing this morning for trout?
I'm throwing them. my main weapon is going to be the Mirror Lure L30.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's going to be the main thing. And of course, I got a jig head with some soft plastic. That's pretty much it.
I've got a lure I want you to try. I've got one I want you to try.
Yeah, you mentioned before.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't write it down, so I forgot what it was.
Yeah, I'll get one for you. What's your color? What color do you like?
I like whatever's biting.
I've been doing
the best on I got an L30. It looks just like a baby trout.
Nice.
And that's been working pretty good. But I got that one this morning. I got a yellow one I'm going to try, too. I've never thrown the yellow one, but I heard it works. I know they've been catching them on the blueback, too. They got one that's got blue back on it.
Yeah, that DW. Go ahead.
For the soft plastics, I'm just throwing a like a little paddle tail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it. I got some little johns too, but that little paddle tail has been working. The down south paddle tail, the chartreuse tail.
Yeah.
Yes, that's been a killer. That's been working real good in Guana too.
Well, the one I want you to try is the DW lure, the one the guy hand makes. And he's got one that's a croaker pattern that's really cool looking. Yeah. And I think you'll like it. It's similar to a Miradyne, but balsa. And Mike Conley got me switched over to using inline hooks with them, and I was really surprised how well they were, even with the topwater plugs.
Yeah. You tell me about that. I put inline hooks on some of my topwaters a couple weeks ago, last time we talked. And I've used that a few times. There hasn't been much of a topwater bite for the trout. I've caught a few reds on it, though.
Yeah.
But I haven't missed a hookup with the inline hooks.
Well, that's good.
I got no complaints on the inline hooks other than I don't have any complaints. I don't get foul ups and stuff like I did before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things I like about it.
We sure appreciate you calling this morning, Craig. It's good to hear from you.
And, yes, sir.
And,
I just don't fish as much as I used to.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get back into it.
Can I put you on hold?
Yeah, go ahead.
Talk radio.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. When half of Florida apartment building collapsed, the other half of the tower was left standing. While 126 residents, mostly from the Oceanside units, are among those missing 9 days later, many others barely escaped. With the elevator collapse, they descended the cracked stairwell that had separated from the wall along the way, helping neighbors that they met for the first time, others they had known for years. Meanwhile, Hurricane Elsa raced toward Haiti and the Dominican Republic today, where it threatened to unleash flooding and landslides before taking aim at Cuba and Florida. The Category 1 storm today, located about 500 miles southeast of Santo Domingo, was moving west-northwest at 30 miles an hour. U.S. forces have vacated Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan after nearly 20 years, bringing the U.S. military closer to a final withdrawal that the Pentagon says will be completed by.
Are you searching for a church where the music and the message are God-honoring? Do you want to hear expository preaching with verse-by-verse presentation of God's Word? If you have said yes to these questions, then you are invited to worship at First Conservative Baptist Church, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, just 1 mile south of I-295. Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor, founder, invites you to worship.
It's important to love what you do and who you do it for. And that's easy when you work at American Electrical Contracting. They're always looking for new ways to invest in their employees. This year alone, they've increased employee benefits by 25%, doubled their life insurance policy, and added an extra scheduled holiday. Plus, they offer tuition assistance for higher education. American Electrical Contracting focuses on excellence and professionalism. Pursue excellence personally and professionally at American Electrical Contracting. Hiring now. Call 737-7770. Visit American-Electrical.com.
What's one of your favorite memories?
Let's see. Well, there was this one time I went snorkeling in the Caribbean when I was a kid. It really just blew my mind. I mean, when you're sitting on the beach, it's so peaceful, and you sort of forget there's a whole other world under there, just full of all kinds of life. We saw the most beautiful corals. I remember thinking they were waving at us as they moved with the ocean. And then there were all these amazing fish. They kind of reminded me of tropical birds. They were so bright and colorful, just darting all over the place like birds in the sky. I'll never forget it. It completely changed the way I look at the ocean.
Most of us have a memory of being in nature we'll never forget. Let's protect the world's natural places so more memories can be made for generations to come. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Monday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. It may be a holiday for a lot of people, but we'll be in live July 5th, breaking down the big July 4th weekend. Did it feel normal? Did you burn your mask and have a good hot dog? I hope so.
Plus, did the Democrats realize that they need to back away from some of the craziest left-wing policies they've been talking about in recent weeks? We'll talk about their strategy and more coming up on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
WBOB. How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
The Jacksonville 4th of July weekend forecast. Tonight, cloudy with showers, a low in the mid-70s. A good chance of rain Saturday and Saturday night. The temperature topping out during the day at 86, overnight down to 73. July 4th, a 70% chance of showers, really humid and a high of 87. Monday, the same, cloudy, rainy, muggy in the upper 80s.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. We got Craig on. Whoops, no, we don't either. We lost Craig, I guess. Yeah, maybe he got in a bad area, or I don't know. Don't think he's launching his kayak already, but...
He might be.
He might
be. cracking light out there pretty good.
Oh, is it? I got my back to it, but yeah, at 6:35, I would imagine, even with it cloudy, I reckon. But maybe he'll call back unless he's getting on out there on the water. But I was looking at the radar here for talking with him, and actually we don't have anything. I don't know where he's fishing at, but we don't have anything close to us that amounts to anything. Looks like most of it is down south of St. Augustine, all the way down to Ocala and Bushnell, and yeah, it's pretty well storming down there. So looks like it just went through Palatka. So anyway, maybe have a good day if he gets out there today.
Yeah. I tell you what, I woke up, I don't know what time it was. It was middle of the night, and it seemed like it was raining pretty good here. I guess that was that front that moved, or that system that moved through.
Yeah, like I said, it's every time it's like I look at the when I'm off, I'm looking at it outside trying to figure if it's dry enough to cut the yard yet. And when you walk through it and your pants legs start getting wet because the grass is so high, that's when it's, getting kind of bad. But it'll happen sooner or later. I'll get out there. But, we were talking with Craig about the trout. Gosh, I mean, it's like, I mean, I've been float fishing for them. Mm-hmm. And still, catch a couple here, a couple there. And that's about it. I mean, it's not like going out and getting a limit of them at all.
Yeah. Well, it's been that way in the valley, too. I mean, south of the valley, you'll see, I think Corey had one that was 20, 21 inches. Leon's had a couple over the couple weeks, but not a lot of little ones, it's just kind of strange.
Yeah.
A lot of times we catch the bigger ones down there at shallower water. Mm. I haven't seen that many big ones. I mean, we had a few, I think over the last month and a half, I've had a few decent trout, lots of yellowmouths when they were around. Or if you find the yellowmouths, they'll be stacked up pretty good, but you don't catch the specks when you catch the yellows.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether it's because the yellows are more aggressive or what the deal is.
They seem like they are.
Yeah, they fight harder.
Yeah. I'll say that much. I know when they hit a bait, they hit it, man. It's like wide open.
Yeah.
But, the trout we've been catching, with the float rigs and stuff, I haven't caught any on the bombers in quite some time.
Wow.
And which is my favorite, And it's weird, that I've caught one here and one there, but not to speak anything to speak of on the bombers. And the thing about the ones we catch too, I mean, they've been up to like 19 and a half inches. We hadn't gotten one over 20 in a while. So even when we catch four or five of them, they seem to be like between 17-19 inches. So they're good solid fish, and they're full too. You could say their bellies are full, but on the other hand, it's not that many. But, when you're float fishing with live shrimp, a lot of times, I mean, you get into a bunch of small ones.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting into any small ones.
Yeah.
And that seems strange to me.
That is strange. It's funny. No matter how many big reds I catch or my clients catch or good flounder or good drum, when you catch a big trout, it's special. I mean, it's like there's nothing like looking at a fish that's over 5, 6, 7 pounds, up. But, it's just, they're so impressive when they get that big.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's always been so good for big trout.
It has.
And it makes me wonder. I haven't gone up past Arlington in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But usually this time of year I could go way up towards the Buckman area and get on some really good big trout, in certain areas that will hold good ones. And I haven't been up there. Maybe I need to just go on
The thing about it is where do you launch if you go up there?
Yeah. A lot of times I'll launch at like
Seaboard or something.
Goodby's.
Oh, okay.
Goodby's Creek. Mm-hmm. I like that ramp. It's a great ramp. You put under the little bridge and you're right there in the river. We used to catch a lot of good fish right out in front of Goodby's.
Yeah, I've never used that ramp.
Yeah, it's a nice ramp. And then we would, you fish the docks, run across the river. The Buckman always held big, big trout. you know, especially when the tide was about midway, you know, and a lot of times we would fish the back sides of the pilings where the eddies are, you know, and throw up current, bring your lure back around, like almost to where it like bounces off the piling, comes into that little eddy.
Yeah.
And, you know, the docks, and then there's a lot of shell bars that are out in front of the docks that run on the, that'd be the east, southeast side of the river, on the same side as Gidby's. There's a nice shell bar that runs out in front of the docks. So a lot of times you find the fish out off the docks, you know, on that shell bar out there. And, you know, I grew up over there at the Club Continental.
Oh,
and,
did you?
Yeah, and we used to fish for everything around there. You know, and I used to bass fish, and then the first redfish I caught, I was like, I'm done with bass. You know, I mean, I'm going after those. But, you know, we've had problems with a lot of the they've had problems, I shouldn't say I've had, or we, because I don't fish down there that much, but all the eelgrass is gone.
Mm.
You know, and they said, you know, there was a lot of articles talking about how the hurricanes and the big flows of water and everything, and they get silted over, and, you know, with the flow of the water, and then it takes forever for them to grow back.
I wonder if it's salt in the water also.
I think some of the salt might have it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's been talk about how much water is being taken out of the St. John's River way down too. But, I mean, those eelgrass beds, man, we used to catch some nice trout out of there.
When you figure, having a larger flow, but then when they're taking millions each day out of the river down there, I mean, you look at our river and you think, oh, a couple of million gallons, that ain't bad, but in the headwaters up there, you know, that's a lot of water.
That's true.
And when they take anywhere from 10 to 15 million a day, I mean, that's just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes me wonder why we haven't, you know, they say we have water shortages, why we haven't looked at desalination plants. Mm-hmm. I know that there's other countries in the world that are doing it and very successful with it. You know, some Asian countries are doing it. And, you know, you look at the fact that, I know it takes a lot of power to do that, but you know, I'm hoping that we'll have to eventually. We can't just deplete all our fresh water.
Yeah,
but isn't it interesting how it all affects from the head all the way out to the ocean?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, just one little change can make a huge difference.
That's what I worried about with Rodman. You know, if they change that, and I mean, it's become such a great area now, you know, great fishery, great habitat. I mean, for wildlife of all kinds down there. But, you know, they go changing it again, then everything's got to start over again down there.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. But, you know, thinking about how much that would change here, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hear there's something like 3 million gallons a day that evaporate out of Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the stuff I've been reading about it and everything, it's like, that's a lot of water to evaporate, you know, but I guess maybe it could. It's such a big area.
That's why when we get all these big rains, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't upset me, you know, due to the fact that I know it's putting fresh water back in.
Yeah.
You know, where it's going is a good question, or if those areas down there are getting the same amount we are. But, I can't wait to, I'm going to do a little bit of R&D this month, you know, since I'm, you know, selling the boat and doing some other things, and, you know, go back and do it full time in August. But I can't wait to fish a bunch of different mm-hmm. stuff, you know, and just go out and fish.
Yeah.
You know, not have to worry about producing for a client, but, you know, actually, you know, going out and looking and seeing, you know, I haven't thrown anything for trout in so long, or just try to target trout, you know, or just try to target, you know, different species.
Yeah.
The problem is tarpon are showing up, and then that's all I'm going to want to catch. So,
do you rather catch tarpon
like
in the creeks, or would you rather do it like in the ocean?
Just I would rather catch them in the intercoastal and around bridges. And, you know, I have a thing for the juvenile tarpon big time. You know, they're so much fun to catch.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's like I would be over a 100-pounder.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care to catch
like
them
the
anymore.
I like the 50 and under crowds.
Yeah, they'll give you more of a show too.
Yeah,
you know that's
well, they're great. More manageable.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they're still crazy.
Yeah,
but the big ones are just, you know, it's like I told somebody the other day. I'll pull them up next to the boat, get a picture, And if I can unhook them easily, we'll get them unhooked. But I don't want to touch them.
Yeah. Yeah, give us a call, 222-8255.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida. If you go on Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. And Craig must have gotten to where he's lost his kayak and get on out there, and I don't blame him at all.
I don't either. I think I'd rather fish than talk to us.
Yeah, really. Mm-hmm. But, well, and you know how it is if you're out there, you know, fishing for trout and you're, you know, using lures. I mean, you want to get out there before that sun gets up too high. You know, also get out there and get you plenty of fishing done before the rain chance gets built up, because it looks like 1 or 2 o'clock is when it's supposed to hit here. You know, a lot more chance of it, I should say.
Yeah.
But there ain't no telling what time. I mean, I think about that, and it could rain 10 o'clock in the morning. It could rain 6 this evening. You never know.
Well, that's what was surprising about yesterday morning with fishing with Mike is, you know, he was throwing top water, and I was throwing a popping cork with the dirty boxer on it. And I had one hit. You know, and he never even got a swirl on the topwater plug.
Oh, wow.
And something will always, you know what I mean? You'll always get some kind of response out of it. But
well, bluefish or, you know.
Yeah, anything.
Ladyfish or a little jack or something.
And we're watching bait, you know, swim and stuff like that. And, of course, you know, we pulled out of one area and went down because the water was starting to drop out pretty good. And we look back and we see reds blowing up in it. I'm like, all right, we were just there.
Yeah,
we threw a couple, you know, and I went to the a paddle tail, a Fight Club paddle tail, and was throwing the popping cork and, you know, throwing different stuff, and then, you know, it just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just kind of looking, and for a while there I just sat there with a rod in my hand just watching the water.
Yeah,
you know, in some areas we were sneaking down because we saw a couple fish push, and, you know, it just never, you know, materialized the way I thought it was. And you know, because the night before, he's like, well, what do you want to do tomorrow? I was like, let's just put some artificials on and go fish.
Yeah.
You know, and not have a plan and just kind of, you know, fish, look at the water. Mm-hmm. You know, he's so awesome to fish with.
And you said it was like halfway out tide?
Well, the tide, it got to halfway out where we were, and we were, you know, pushing south, so it changes, you know, the tide changes.
As you go.
And, you know, at the very end, we went into a spot and, you know, saw some fish and, you know, just nothing, you know. And I did lose one decent flounder, you know, that I it felt decent, you know. And then, but it's, the bite was, you know, not there. And it's like, really? I get to fish.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
I get to fish with somebody who fishes really good. And that boat is beautiful. I love that boat, you know, and I can't wait till it's mine. But, you know, it's like, it's such a great platform to fish off of, and it floats so shallow like yours, and it goes anywhere, you know, you can want it to go. It's comfortable to run, and I'm like, this is going to be so awesome.
Ride's good.
Yeah. And then, you know, crickets.
Yeah.
It's like, really? You know.
Well, that's what happens when I get to fish.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, really? You know, I mean, I don't.
Like when
you know,
we
I haven't thrown topwater in so long.
Yeah.
You know. But I'd love to go through topwater, but
it's like when we finally got to go sheepshead fishing.
Yeah,
conditions weren't good, bite was not really that good, and we're like, really?
I know.
We've only waited 5 years, 6 years for this, maybe longer. You know, it's like I tell you what I've started doing, and you know, for years and years of chartering, it's like you grind on the charters. You know, and don't worry about fishing yourself. And now I'm getting to the point where it's like fishing on my own gets to be very important, you know, because I do the job because I love it, you know, and we're blessed to be able to do it, you know. And, you know, you think about what else we could be doing, you know, instead. And, you know, you care about your clients and you want them to catch fish and everything, but I want to fish, you know. And that's, you know, doing something different. You know, it's like I'm ready to go charter somewhere. Like we were talking on the off air, it's like I'm ready to go charter somewhere for tarpon. You know, look and see where the migration's going on and if it's thick in certain areas, and then just go down and charter somebody and go.
Yeah.
You know, and just fish. You know, and if I jump one, I'm happy. You know, that's, you know, it's like talking to different guides I know that tarpon fish, you know, they primarily do it. I don't really care about putting my hands on them as much as I do jumping them,
yeah.
You know, getting the bite, getting them to take an artificial and putting them in the air, you know, and that's still, that fish is just, it's like, I made up with him about like Eddie Cabler is with trout. I mean, he's the trout master in my opinion. And, you know, I'm not a master at tarpon, you know, by any means. I mean, there's so many people out there so good at it, you know, but trying, you know, learning every day. You know, I get a chance to fish for them. You know, they're so finicky.
Are they? Yes, they are. I mean, I've been out there at the jetties and watched them roll around the boat for, you know, 2 hours.
Watch them crushing bait.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, really? I've got a perfect right here for you.
Yep.
You know, and it's, but that's the fun of it, you know. And
are they in the creeks down there?
I've seen some in the creeks. Cabbage. Cabbage, which is and it's not a secret, it's south of JTB. There's some nice fish in there, and usually the fish I get in there are anywhere from about 12 pounds up to about 30, maybe 40. We did catch one in there, it was 40 2 years ago, but they're there, you know. And a lot of times, you know, I like throwing artificials at them, but sometimes, you know, it takes pulling out the cast net and catching mullet and free lining a mullet to them.
There's several in that creek where you turn off intercoastal, like going towards Clapboard. You pass that big old oyster bed in the middle.
Yep.
Just past that where the creek tees off, you got that deep hole.
Those fish are hard to get to eat.
There's several in there.
But it's when there was one guy that I used to watch fishing there a lot, and he was pretty successful at it. And he'd put a bait on the bottom and a bait on the top.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it could be a dead bait on the bottom or... You know, I have a friend that swears by butterfly croakers. You know, that's what he does. He'll catch his croakers and freeze them, you know, and puts them in the, seals them in what is that thing called? The machine that vacuum packs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the sealer, he'll put them in those, and he'll butterfly them, you know, and seal them up, and then he'll use, you know, dead baits. Because he's like, when I'm going, I'm going to have bait. You know, it might not be live, but, you know. And he said, yeah, you do catch other things on it too, but he swears by using that. You know, it's, and tarpon will eat anything. When they're hungry, they'll eat it, you know, but it's, I don't know. There's just something about that fish when it goes ballistic, you know, and they're such an ancient creature too, you know.
You know, what surprises me is, you know, if you're at the jetties and you got a bait on the bottom, a lot of times you hook up the tarpon. When you're bull red fishing in the river, you never hear of anybody hooking up a tarpon.
Very, very rarely. Now, I've seen them like
it's weird.
I've seen them at the Dames Point. You know, and they get in Mill Cove really thick.
Yeah, they do in the cove.
You know, and I know somebody who hooked one up by, what is it called, Snake Island? Snake, I think it's called Snake Island. They are, I forget the name of it, but back by Mill Cove. They hooked one up the other night when they were trout fishing. They were trout fishing at night.
Yeah.
And they hooked a good one up, you know. But I used to love fishing for them in Mill Cove.
Just like, why don't we hook one in the river?
Yeah, I know, you know? It's weird.
I mean, you hook them on the bottom at the jetties.
Yeah.
You know?
I think they follow the bait up in shallower water. I think, you know, you look at Mill Cove. I've sat in Mill Cove and, you know, the little island by the bridge?
Yeah.
I've sat there on an incoming tide and watched them swim down that oyster bar island in the middle. And couldn't get them to eat anything.
No.
Then go on the backside of the bridge and hook up a ladyfish, and you're reeling it in, and it gets crushed.
Yeah.
You know? And, you, of course, you have a topwater plug on it, and it's not sticking.
It's like, I took two guys out to tarpon fish. We sit at the jetties for 2 to 3 hours just watching them roll everywhere.
Yeah.
Then we left there, went to Mill Cove, started float fishing under the bridge, you know, for trout. Our second drift, boom, hook up a tarpon. He went by the, you know, the bridge piling, cut it off.
Yeah, see ya.
I was like, well, there's your tarpon.
There's your tarpon. Well, if you watch Crowder, Crowder's very successful off catching them on the bottom. But he targets them, and he uses big weights and everything, and a lot of people say you can't do that. Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
I mean, he'll hook up sharks, bull reds. They had a Goliath, I think, this week, you know, and watching somebody, you know, do that, if you know, if you can learn from them, you know, that's – you know, because I have a friend who likes to fish for him deep too, but he uses rubber bands and he has a heavy weight. And when the fish takes off, it breaks the rubber band. And I'm like, that gets expensive, you know, like that. And he looks at me and he said, but it's worth it. He said, when I can get the tarpon to eat, he says, I don't care. I'm like, yeah, but an 8 ounce weight, you know.
Exactly.
So, and he starts laughing about it, but you know,
30 cents an ounce anymore.
Yeah, right. You know, say you get 10 bites in a day, that would be a phenomenal day, but still.
Yeah.
You know.
So. Yeah, you lose 10 8-ounce
bites. I mean, I get ticked off when I lose them in the rocks or bull red fishing. It irritates me, you know. You lose the whole little slider rig and everything else. So.
Yeah, I do too, man. I mean, when you look at that, you're like, oh, you know, there goes another $2.40.
I mean, it's not that much money, but in the scheme of things, it's like, you know, I don't care about jig heads as much, you know, but still, you're like, you'll look at your supply, and then a couple weeks later, you're like, ooh, that's getting low, you know.
Well, and you know, like what we talk about, you know, a normal recreational fisherman can go out and lose 2, 3, 4 sinkers, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're out here fishing every day and you lose a couple, 2, 3, 4 every day.
It adds up.
That adds up fast.
That's true.
Fast, man. You know, and but anyway, give us a call, 222-8255. We come back, we'll kind of talk about the weather a little bit too. So, in case you're not out there on the water yet, we'll be back.